This summer, crews continue to remove mining waste from North Idaho's Silver Valley. It's a process that's been going for more than 30 years. Next year is expected to be an important one in Kellogg, as a private company hired by the federal government will begin building a new water treatment plant that will increase the amount of contaminated water that will be collected and processed. That means far fewer heavy metals being discharged into the South Fork of the Coeur d'Alene River. It will also mean much less contamination downstream, working its way toward Lake Coeur d'Alene. During that cleanup process, the Environmental Protection Agency and its federal, state, and local partners have also tried to track where that pollution is going and clean it up when feasible. That work will continue as well, maybe for generations. Yesterday, EPA officials leading the cleanup took a group of about 40 interested people on a bus tour to show their successes and challenges. Afterward, we talked with EPA Remedial Project Manager Ed Marine about what we saw.
So a lot of that work's been done in the upper basin. How would you characterize the progress in that lower basin?
So we've really concentrated on gathering information and studying the river itself, studying flood events, developing models. So we're in the investigative mode for the most part. But we've also implemented some projects. We've taken some actions to protect people's health, such as hardening boat ramps in places where people recreate. That's a key component. We have, educational signage out there. We have brochures available that help people understand how they can play clean. And we've implemented, a large pilot project converting an agricultural field to a wetland. In our world, one of our goals in our record of decision is to create waterfowl habitat in places where waterfowl can feed without eating. High levels of lead. Lead is very toxic to waterfowl, we know that, and we see high mortalities in the Coeur d'Alene Basin. So that particular project is a great example of something where we've taken a parcel that was being operated for agricultural purposes, now it's a wetland, and we can monitor and other folks can operate that site to maintain safe habitat. And then there are other places where we don't even have contamination that exists that wetlands have been created that are very near that same wetland complex. So those are the things that have been done, but we're talking about 18,000 acres of contaminated wetlands that have levels of lead that are toxic to waterfowl. And we're talking about having converted a little over 400 acres of wetland habitat. So as you can see, there's a very large chunk of the pie that is yet to be digested.
So I heard you invoke March 17th, and I assume that was this year, as a pretty important date. Tell me why that was important.
So we saw high flood flows on March 17th. It's one of the highest events that we've seen in the last 20 years. And it was actually a double humped hydrograph, which means the flows peaked on March 17th and they peaked again on March 20th. So we had a lot of water moving through the system and a lot of sediments, and in this case a lot of contaminated sediments that were mobilized and transported downstream into off-channel areas as well as Lake Coeur d'Alene.
And so those waters recede, they leave that sediment, people come and play with them. I think we went to Rose Lake or one of the areas, the campgrounds where we were probably walking in heavy metal laden. Are some of those areas unsafe for people to be in?
You know, the key to living and recreating in the Coeur d'Alene Basin is to do it smartly, to play clean. And that means that, one, you understand the risks out here, and two, that you take action to protect yourself. And they're pretty easy. Put a barrier between you and sediments, because they are likely to be contaminated. And then take actions to remove any sediments that you might pick up on your feet, that you carry to your vehicle, what have you. And you avoid having direct contact with soils, or directly eating soils, if you will, in essence mixing soils with the food that you eat, or having soils in your hands before you eat. So take actions to clean your hands. So again, it's back to pretty simple things. Remove the soil from your hands, leave the soil at the site, don't take it home with you, and if you do take it home with you, make sure you clean it off.
So is this basin going to be completely clean, let's say in our lifetime? I mean, you and I are probably a little older, but how would you characterize over the next 20, 30 years, how much progress is going to be made?
I'd love to tell you that it's all going to be cleaned up, but I think we have to be practical about what it is that we can do, how many resources we have at our disposal, and what kind of time frames we can achieve things in. And that's the thing that we're really starting to embark on right now, is to determine what kind of actions we can take. We know the riverbed is a big source of contaminated sediments. It's 37 river miles long. That's a big chunk. How do you address that in a way that we can actually measure progress and reduce the risk to you know, the ecosystem, to people and wildlife?
Could you dredge it completely and clean it out, or is that even physically possible?
Well, dredging in itself is possible. It takes a lot of resources. It's very expensive. It's very slow. And if you're going to dredge all those materials, let's say it's roughly 10 million cubic yards in the riverbed alone, you have to have some place to put those, because you're now going to create a mountain, a waste mountain. And that's part of the logistical challenges here. But resources is probably your greatest constraint. It's going to be very expensive to dredge. And when you think about that size of an area, it's going to be very difficult to have enough resources to take that out.
So you're having to pick and choose what you do. And what are you probably talked about this, but what are the things that you most look at when you think about which project should we do versus another project?
Yeah, we want to think very strategically about how we address the problem. So first of all, you want to understand, where is the material being mobilized? Where is the highest concentrations being mobilized? What does that look like, literally? What is the physical nature of the riverbed or that source area? And then what are the measures you can take to address that? And also, what happens downstream if you do take measures? And those are all the things that we still have yet in front of us.
Ed Marine is a remedial project manager working on the Coeur d'Alene Basin cleanup for the Environmental Protection Agency.